Hello, everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, and actor Harry Styles.
This week in episode 21, we're going to cover Harry's recent interview and photo shoot with Dazed magazine, along with Pleasing and some other recent news.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do you blame Harry for this week, Gray?
The sexy boy made me buy nail polish. So when Pleasing was released, I thought that like only one of the polishes was being released and it was the white one. And I was like, I got really excited and I bought it. And then I realized that like all of the products that he announced were on sale. So I like went back and bought the one that's like $65. So
wow, I didn't actually know that. I'm learning this in real time.
So I spent like including shipping and handling, I spent like $100 on Pleasing Harry Styles' new gender neutral goop. So
don't say that. We'll get into all of our thoughts on the Pleasing of it all as we discuss the lot of news we have to break down on this episode because we haven't put out an episode in like 2 months, but we'll get into that later as well. So as for what I blame Harry for, I have to say, I think what I blame Harry for this week is just being in a state of constant vigilance. Yeah, that's like really where I'm at. Like, I just feel like anything could happen at any time. I'm like braced for impact at any moment. Like, we might not get anything for a month, and next week we could have a single and an album cover. Like, it's just so up in the air that it's exciting but also nerve-wracking, and I'm like listening to old podcasts and like not ours, I guess, free promo to Rolling Stone Music Now in the two episodes that they've done on Harry. I've been listening, reading like old interviews and stuff. It's really been kind of a content renaissance for me this past week.
Rob Sheffield, if you're listening, hi bestie.
Hi bestie. So actually, speaking about Rob Sheffield, let that lead us into a discussion of our first segment, which is a little podcast catch up, which isn't something that we usually do, but we thought it was kind of needed for this episode because I think this is the longest break we've taken from recording the podcast and releasing an episode since we first made it almost a year ago at this point, maybe a year ago.
Well, technically we have recorded two yes. episodes that will not be making it to air.
Yeah, so if you're like really into like the We Blame Harry Styles podcast lore, it should be exciting for you to know that we have two secret episodes in the vault that will not be released. So feel free to make up whatever really interesting and exciting like ideas about those episodes you want. Like, the reality is not interesting.
Write a fan fiction about it. Guess the topic, write a fan fiction.
Yeah, do it. It's true. But like, the reality is, so we recorded an episode in the vein of our weekly tour updates we were doing that just ended up, like, I ended up not being able to edit it. And then it was like a month later and I was like, okay, it just doesn't make sense to release an episode on like two random weeks of tour that happened a month ago when three other weeks of tour have already happened, like whatever. So that kind of passed us by. And then the other one, we recorded a great episode with two of our good friends, Ava and Alexis.
It was so good. It was such a good episode.
And, you know, sometimes things happen and there are technical issues and you accidentally delete your audio file and can't recover it. So, folks, in 1 year of having a podcast, this kind of had to happen once. So this is the one time it happened. And it was not a nice night when that accidentally happened, but
we were so devastated and he tried so hard to get the audio back. Like, he was using programs that I've never heard of in my life to like dig through
yeah, like deep file recovery shit that never paid off.
Right. He was like, I have audio from 2017 in here or something, but I can't tell what it is. He had to ask his old roommate, like, it was a hole, and then he still couldn't get it. So
it was kind of intense. And like, so that episode was on Harry Ween. So basically, like, again, as part of this whole podcast catch up thing, like, so much has happened since we last recorded an episode. Like, Gray and I, at that point, neither of us had even seen Harry live in concert. And now we've each seen him multiple times. I've seen him four times. Two of those times I visited Gray, like, at Harry Ween, and we saw him together. The main reason that we stopped doing those weekly tour dates was because I blame Gray for motivating us to do this insane thing, but we decided to light up Madison Square Garden like a rainbow. So yeah. If you listen to the podcast and don't follow us on Twitter, like if you saw that Madison Square Garden was lit up like a rainbow on Harry Ween,
that was us.
We
did it. Us and like 70 people and no sleep. Yeah. And just like, I'm so grateful that Key ever forgave me for that.
Yes, I don't regret it at all. It was amazing. We will definitely be talking about that more and kind of wrapping up tour in general as tour ends. And hopefully we'll be able to kind of record an episode that goes over everything we've missed and kind of talks through like our favorite outfits of the tour and like those moments and talk about seeing Harry live and seeing him at Harry Ween and all this stuff. So if you're listening and you're feeling like what happened, like we didn't hear from you guys, like what the fuck was that, like I'm really hopeful that as these weeks kind of continue we're able to release something on tour and talk about that in more depth. But for now, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. We kind of just wanted to get into the dazed photo shoot of it all and interview because it just seems like this new era is kicking off and it felt important to cover it at this point in time.
Yeah, we were like, oh god, we have to get something out because Thanksgiving's coming. And then, well, I'm always predicting something, but I'm like, oh, I think that there's going to be a Rolling Stone cover UK.
Yeah, we won't get too much into the clowning now because there's a whole section of our news segment that's devoted to the HS3 of it all. But why don't you start, Gray, with the fucking news that Harry Styles is in a Marvel movie, which we also haven't covered on the show.
So, Harry Styles is in Eternals, which I will say this podcast dropped first. So we are
so true.
We are peak entertainment news ? We are journalists. Yeah,
breaking news, cutting edge coverage.
We deserve a Pulitzer Prize ? I think so. So Harry Styles in his MCU era. Key and I both saw Eternals. I rated it as pretty good. You liked it, right? You thought it was pretty good?
I enjoyed it. Did I think it was like a great movie? Probably not, but I enjoyed it well enough. I had a good time.
Yeah.
And I was very happy and thrilled to see the theater's reaction to Harry showing up at the end where all the girls and gays in my screening really, really went for it and gave him a round of applause in the theater, which I was thrilled about. So that part was really fun. Yeah, I liked the movie. I really liked getting all this kind of behind the scenes stuff that we've gotten. And like, it's been really cool to see like Chloe Zhao and like Nate Moore and like these people that are deeply entrenched in Marvel that I've kind of been aware of as a fan of the MCU for a while, like talk about Harry. Like, that's been cool. But yeah, so that was kind of my like, the lens through which I viewed that experience.
And Marvel is also getting in on trying to copy us by blaming Harry for things. So according to writer Kaz Furpo on Eros's future in the MCU, I think Star Fox is a lot responsible for why Thanos is the way he is. To have this perfect brother who can make anyone fall in love with him, it does something to you. So I hope we get to see more of that in number two. We blame Harry Styles for the Infinity War.
I literally, the fact that Harry Styles is playing the brother of Thanos is like the funniest thing that's ever happened, ever. Like, I don't know if that totally computed for me. And like the fact that he's playing Eros, like, you know, the god of love, like, you know, all these things. It's like very in character. I can totally see why Harry would go for it. It's like very kind of meta and funny that they cast him in this role. And like, but yeah, it's just deeply, deeply funny to me that
he's Thanos, he's the brother of Thanos. Yeah.
And I really like the memes where it's like a picture of baby Harry Styles and a picture of like baby Thanos with like Josh Brolin's purple head on top. And they're like, I understand now why Thanos snapped half the galaxy out of existence.
Right, right.
Spoilers, I guess, for the biggest grossing movie of all time. Yeah, so that's been very enjoyable to me.
So, Harry has his own poster for Eternals, and they gave him little, like, sparkly... It kind of looks like those apps that make the little fan videos or fan edits for, like, singers and stuff, but they have that filter where it puts it over and it like sparkles. They did that to Harry on his Eternals poster.
Yeah, this is like a extremely deep fried photo of him. And I'm like, okay, so they like took a still of the movie and like blew it up.
Right, they blew it up. Like, and then they put kawaii sparkles on it.
Yeah, and they like, whatever that like filter is that like crisps up an image, like that's like what we're looking at here, which is funny to me. But it did get like, what, like 300,000 likes on Twitter or whatever. So people are psyched. People are psyched about this. Yeah, kind of a surreal moment to be sure.
All right, so do you have anything else to say about Eros and the MCU?
No, I'm interested to see where they have him crop up. I kind of, my ideal for Harry Styles in the MCU is like for him to like, and like, please, people don't take this the wrong way. Like, I love Harry, but I don't like, my ideal for Harry is not for him to be like the lead in like a very serious Eternals movie where he's like grappling with the realities of like being the brother of Thanos. Like, what I want is Harry having 5 minutes in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 where he like is bantering with Groot. Like, that's what I want. I'm like, where can I fit Harry in the ways that would amuse me the most? So I'm like, Thor Love and Thunder, like it's right there. Love is in the title. Eros, the god of love, let's get him in there. Like, where can we insert Harry so that he was with the actor that I like? The Deadpool 3, Deadpool's making jokes about One Direction, like that's what I want.
So yeah, let's just have Harry be the MCU's designated shitpost character. We'll put him in. He'll be in movies for like 15 minutes at a time. He'll make out with a few people. Somebody will make a One Direction joke about him. He'll go, ah, and then he'll leave. It's going
to
be awesome.
Who says no to that?
I don't, that sounds perfect to me. It's going to be great. He's so cute in his little outfit, but I think that he's cute always, so I'm not a good judge.
He had painted nails in the movie, which I thought was nice. He had like that silver nail polish as Eros.
Yeah, so. Which people did speculate was pleasing nail polish, although it would be hard to tell.
Which makes a good segue into our next news topic.
Yeah, so speaking of, I guess that's a good a time as any to lead us into the reason why Harry had a dazed photo shoot come out, which is that pleasing dropped and it ended up being nail polish and skin moistening makeup.
You gotta rephrase that.
Skin damp.
Skincare products.
Skincare. What I understand is, okay, so guys, before we get into this, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because like what I understand of skincare is like they're products that like make your face wet. And
yeah, Gray is very blessed with completely smooth, like, you know, skin, never had an issue in his life. So that's kind of where we're at.
I have a cold sore right now, but none of the pleasing products can help with that.
How dare he not cure your cold sore as part of his makeup and nail polish line?
Yeah, so pleasing was something that was obviously like on people's brains for a really long time and nobody really knew what it was. And there were lots of rumors about, oh, is it fragrances? Is it makeup? What is it? I think that you and I did speculate that it might be nail polish because...
Yeah, we thought that. I think that's like the clear and obvious direction for Harry to go first because that is kind of like the, I guess, would you call like nail polish a beauty product? I don't think of it that way, but like it is the product in that vein that like he's very known for using and... Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is, like, the most natural thing for him to come out with first. And so that definitely was, like, a predictable
Especially because, like, I could see him, like, if he wanted to make a product that he also wanted to wear a nail polish, I think would be, you know, a good...
Yeah, it's the most natural, for sure.
So we had speculated on that. And then what happened was all of a sudden it just, like, things just started happening. Like, pleasing.com, people were, like, going to the website and they were trying to sign in, which led to a humorous thing later when the site actually went live and people would go into the code and the code itself said trying to break in is not pleasing to us. And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It was cute. That was cute. And there were signs. So when fans left one of the stops on Harry's tour, they saw outside like big billboards that said pleasing, which was very exciting. So just seeing those videos of everybody like racing around and like looking at the signs is very funny.
Yeah. And so that night, stuff from the pleasing website started to pop up. we stayed up late, and then the next day, the Days digital shoot dropped, and like all of the official Pleasing stuff dropped. So yeah, that's a little story of like what went down with Pleasing. Key, do you want to read the copy that was this was distributed into the physical boxes that a lot of influencers got?
Rude that We Blame Harry Styles wasn't included in the influencer marketing, but that's okay.
We are extremely influential, and Harry will be hearing from me, or I guess Pleasing Limited will be hearing from me that I had to pay for my nail polish instead of Lizzo, who got hers for free. And I'm just saying, like, me and Lizzo, you know, I wouldn't say that.
Relatively similar levels of fame, notoriety.
I would say I'm like maybe one tier below Lizzo, but pretty close.
Wow, that's a big, big tier. It's a large size tier.
No. I think it's, you know, I'm like a you know, Lizzo's like a 10, and I'm like a 9, you know, like 9.
Wow. I'm going to let you roll with that, and I'm going to read the Pleasing copy. Yeah, so it says, "Welcome to Pleasing. We're a life brand that moves to wherever there is something pleasing to be found. Founded by Harry Styles in 2021, our mission is to bring joyful experiences and products that excite the senses and blur the boundaries. From nail polish to skincare to anything else we find pleasing, we take inspiration from the way nature adorns itself and the multitudes of unique identities in our community. We believe by exploring the contradictions around and within us, we dispel the myth of a binary existence. We're pleasing, never perfect. Though we prioritize people and the planet, we know we can always do better, and we strive to do so every day. We celebrate the kindness and optimism in our community and the future we are all creating together. Find your pleasing." So that's the advertising copy. You're welcome, Harry, for the free promo.
Yeah, I know. When we decided to record this news, I was sitting around like, Key, I'm like shilling for capitalism on my podcast right now. I don't know if I can do it.
I think, yeah, the reason why I wanted to read the copy, like, in all seriousness, isn't to advertise for the brand. I mean, everybody listening to this podcast is obviously aware of the brand. Like, nobody needs any advertisement for us that are listening to this. But it's more because, like, when we first discussed the idea of Harry having a product line way back when we first thought that this would happen, I kind of didn't want it because it's just not really my thing. Like, I guess, like, artists are already marketing you their music and tour tickets and all these things. So it's not like, as a fan, you're not being sold things already. I'm not, like, under the illusion that I'm not a marketing demographic. But there is something to me about a product like this that seems, like, a little bit more blatant in that respect. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I'm like a little bit more distanced from that. It's like not really what I get into artists for. So I was a little hesitant. I was like, I don't know, like maybe we'll get a few cool photo shoots of it. And like, that's like actually kind of where I ended up being now too, is like, I'm thrilled to have the Days interview and photo shoot, and that's awesome. And I'm like interested intellectually to see kind of where Pleasing goes from here. But I'm not somebody who's like particularly jazzed about the prospect of a line like this. There are aspects of it, like some of the lines in the copy that I kind of roll my eyes at, because I'm like, okay, like the marketing around certain like concepts I'm like not as thrilled with, and then there are parts that I do think are kind of exciting that I'm interested to see where it could go from here. So I'm kind of, you know, not entirely positive on it, which I am sorry if people find that a bit of a downer, but I'm not entirely negative on it either. I'm kind of just like, it is what it is. It's very, very common and normal for celebrities to have their own product lines and to put their faces on products. And like, that's a very normal part of fame in 2021. And so I'm not shocked by it. I'm not disappointed by it. It's just like, it's not really why I'm drawn to Harry as an artist. It's like not really why I'm here. So yeah, but I don't know how you feel, Gray.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I bought the product, so who's the fool?
So you can't say too much.
Who's the fool? Harry Styles for marketing gender neutral nail polish, or me for buying it?
I might buy the black nail polish. Like, I'm not saying I'm above it. It's just, you know, it's the central concept of it is like not something that I'm like centrally here for.
You have to buy it, you know, as the pack, and apparently the packs, like, if you layer the polish, they, like, turn different colors, and so I was like,
yeah, I'm not gonna buy the pack.
I'm gonna fall for that marketing gimmick. Of course I am. I want to see what the different colors layer, what they look like. It's been quite some time since I've painted my nails, but I'll get back into it when I get my pleasing nail polish.
Yeah, and I like that, and I think, like, the idea of, like, fans getting excited and, like, having a fun time experimenting with these products, like, I think is fun. It's just, like, I don't know. I don't want to, it's hard with these things because I don't want to be negative and I don't want people to, like, feel like I'm telling them that they can't be excited. Like, I think being excited about this kind of thing is great. But for me, I'm more drawn to, like, the photo shoots and the interviews and less to the idea of a product line. But, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm just going to, like, I need to send a note to cisgender news media organizations. Please read the different definitions of non-binary, gender neutral, and gender fluid. And yeah. Then I need you, when you're reporting, to not report on Harry Styles' non-binary makeup line. I'm begging you. I'm so tired.
Yeah, it's just like one of those things where I'm like I, when are the think pieces? I can feel them on the horizon. And like, I will be honest, the copy for pleasing, which I think is like very normal, like a lot of copy like this I kind of find cringy, so this is not specific to Harry, but like the dispel the myth of the binary existence thing is like, it doesn't say non-binary, so like at least it's got that going for it, but like that is where they got it from.
I know.
You know, I so know. It's in there.
Yeah, it's tough because he and I, before we were getting on, we weren't really sure like how much you wanted to notice this. And I don't want to like belabor this because the majority of makeup brands are, you know, very gendered and do not receive the same kind of scrutiny that a makeup brand that would be advertising itself as this is for everybody would get. Like, very few people are looking at, I don't know, Ariana Grande's makeup line or whatever and being like, so why aren't you dispelling the myth of binary existence, Ariana Grande? Like, nobody's saying that to her. But even still, it's like, you know, like...
Yeah, when you bring up the idea in your product's copy, you invite scrutiny in that respect.
So. Right.
And we got some cute videos and stuff and behind-the-scenes content of the shoot and the product shoot and, like, Harry putting on nail polish and, like, that kind of aspect. Like, that's kind of what I'm here for. I'm like, if getting a product line means that I get, like, that kind of thing, I'm, like, kind of... Like that, like I enjoy that aspect of it.
I did too.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have liked about what they've been doing, they've been highlighting some of the smaller like nail artists they've collaborated with. So via Instagram, Sigourney Nail Art by Sig is a Mexican and Guatemalan nail artist from Southeast Los Angeles. She started her nail art journey in 2013 when she launched a DIY nail art blog and used Instagram to share easy to recreate designs and techniques. So I think that as there are more drops, you know, other creators will be featured. It's cool to like know who's doing different stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
All right. So to close that out, the official launch is November 29th.
So we'll see if this episode is able to be released before then. If not, maybe we will have missed a ton of other pleasing stuff and a bunch of photos, in which case we apologize and we'll discuss them eventually. But
we will. But we gotta release this. And it's going to release. Okay. So finally, there's a rumor. It hits Daily Double. And it was, I think, a couple weeks ago. They said new music 60 to 90 days from now. Key, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about a potential 2022 release date? Do you think that there's going to be a new single soon? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think, so people were saying that this particular source was right last time about Fine Line and kind of the timing of Fine Line. Mm-hmm. That they've been right before, that they're relatively reliable. So trusting my friends that have communicated that to me, this was very, very, very exciting to me. And then kind of seeing the pleasing drop and the Dazed cover, I definitely feel like something's coming.
Yeah.
People are saying now, like, obviously, so if that was a couple weeks ago, the 60-day mark is, like, you know, not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking more towards the end of that. We're thinking beginning of 2022, the first few months of the year in 2022. That also makes a lot of sense, because last time when Fine Line was released at the end of 2019, it was like a hugely successful album that missed out on basically all of the year-end lists because it came out right before the end of the year. So it'd be really cool, honestly, to have the rollout be at the beginning of the year and kind of have a reversal of that and kind of get the two waves of critical engagement with the new album, the first wave as it comes out, and then the last wave at the end of the year. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And also positioning yourself in like January and February means that you're positioning yourself very neatly to push a single for the summer. So I imagine on the album, he's written something that he's hoping will be the next Watermelon Sugar. Everybody wants a song of the summer. Unless every song on the album is like desperately sad, in which case, you know, that's how it is. But I feel like there's got to be something on there that's song of the summery.
I definitely feel like after the interview and after hearing that news, like I feel the momentum and I feel the pressure, honestly. So I definitely have the feeling that things are in the pipeline. I feel like before he tours the UK and Europe.
Oh, absolutely.
And other like locations internationally, I just feel like that's coming. So yeah, we won't clown about that too much because I feel like we've clowned about H3 so much on this show. And there's like, I feel like so much is going to happen imminently that I'm like not even tempted to speculate because I just feel like some of that's going to come through in our conversation about the Dazed photo shoot and interview. So why don't we kind of let us lead that right into it?
All right. Yes. So we are moving into our main segment, which is his recent interview in Dazed magazine.
The text for the interview is by Lynette Nylander. Yeah. So it dropped the 15th of November. And we have the tagline, Harry Styles talks pleasing, a brand built on small joys. Mm-hmm. From fine line to star film roles, Harry Styles has gone from global to stratospheric. Now he adopts his newest mantle. Pleasing, his first business venture, puts beauty and naked ambition front and center.
Yeah, and then the photograph of the cover of the magazine is Harry with a shirt on that has a big hole in it. So technically two titties are out because he has the
amazing,
one big
iconic,
one.
Amazing, spectacular.
He has the one big one, and then he has one of his little ones. So technically he has two out.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about the photos because we're going to kind of discuss them all as a group. But that first one definitely, like, obviously when this first dropped, like, you normally when we talk about things in this podcast, we're like, where were we when this first happened? Like, me
office.
At work trying not to act like I'm on Twitter as I see that photo. Like, that was definitely a moment in my life for sure.
Uh-huh.
But I'll say too about the tagline, because I this kind of goes back to like my complicated feelings about pleasing as a brand. Like, putting naked ambition front and center is such an interesting tagline for this article, because it's like something that's true, but it's also something that to me is like not like it won't always be viewed as something that's positive. So maybe it's just me that has like kind of complicated feelings about that, because I have complicated feelings about the idea of a product line in general. But yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting way to frame the whole piece.
Yeah, it definitely has a little bit of, like, saying Naked Ambition has a little bit of, like, girl boss energy.
Oh, God, not Harry as Shiv Roy. I just don't want to think about that. Yeah, but let us kind of let that lead us into a discussion of the interview. So we'll talk about the interview. We'll talk about some kind of the quotes that are pulled out for us. Then we'll talk about the photos. But that being said, like, these things are kind of wrapped up in each other. So apologies, I guess, if it's slightly confusing, if we bop around and like mention some of the photos. But like, I trust that everybody's listening to this has seen this.
And read it.
You've seen all the photos. You know what we're talking about. So we're just going to let it kind of, you know, bleed into each other. But yeah, so that being said, I really, really was excited to get an interview from Harry. I was actually like literally the night before this dropped, I was up till 4 a.m. reading old interviews with Harry and like all of his profiles from the Fine Line era. And I reread the Guardian Weekend piece from Tom Lamont. I reread his Rolling Stone profile. I don't know what got me to do that. I don't know like what spurred that on, but I was like, I don't know if I had a feeling, I don't know what it was, but I was ready for an interview. This wasn't what I expected, but like now looking back, it seems clear that this is because of Pleasing. Like, this is the way it kind of had to happen. But I'm like also so ready for music in the new era that like this definitely left me hungry for more and to hear more about music and everything. But it was nice because like there's a ton of stuff in this mention that, like, of course he's never talked about before, like Eternals, even like just the fact that Don't Worry Darling and My Policeman are even mentioned, like things that are new. And even tour, like obviously we've been getting like almost daily Harry Styles like content. I hate the word content, but like that's what it's been like for months now, which has been so awesome. But none of that includes like reflection on his part through like something as formal as an interview. So I was looking forward to that and seeing kind of how he framed that. So all these things were kind of things that I was thinking about when I first saw that he did an interview, which was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even reflecting on Tor, like, he's just so cute. Like, literally, like, his first quote in this, the interviewer asks him about Tor, and he said, "Bringing people together is the thing I'm most proud of. I get kind of a front row seat to see a bunch of people getting into a room together and just being themselves, not coming to the front of the stage because they're hanging out at the back, dancing like nobody's watching, having the most basic version of a good time. Humans interacting and accepting each other, a room full of people just loving each other is so powerful." He really said, shout out to the people who show up in the pit at 7:30 and like hang out with their friends and vibe in the back. He really said that.
I love that. And I liked that quote too. Yeah. I do predict that we will hear "a room full of people just loving each other is so powerful" about 40 times over the next 4 months. But yeah, this was a sweet quote. And like, as somebody, you know, who's been lucky enough to attend Tor in person this past month, that sentiment definitely spoke to me. And there's something very, very authentic about that to me. About the environment that those shows are able to create. That's only possible because of him. And so I appreciated him reflecting on that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he definitely like has these unique sound bites that he creates and says again and again. But I do think that part of it is like he sits down and he's like, okay, I'm going to do like 7 interviews now and I got to have some stuff. Just take some notes.
Everybody does that. If you follow any musician, if you follow any actor, like any press tour that they do, they all have the anecdotes that they repeat. Yeah. So it's not, it's definitely not a criticism for me to bring up. It's just amusing as a fan when you follow things this closely to kind of track those things. So we were like looking through this article like, oh, which one of these sound bites do we think are the ones that, you know, but.
I just find it really amusing thinking about him like writing down "a room full of people just loving each other is so powerful" and going, oh my god, yeah, that's really good.
That one hits.
We'll say that 400 times. Yeah.
Yeah. But so like what else emerged for me, I guess, from the interview? It had a little bit of a profile element. So the interviewer like described him a few times in ways that I thought were interesting and cool. Like there's this one description of him and I don't know, the green eyes, and I could sense a slight hesitance on the behalf of the interviewer walking in and then immediately being like, oh, I get it. I understand why people are into this guy, which I always appreciate because I feel like that is so consistent with Harry that like he just has the instant ability to charm anybody that he meets in person, regardless of any prior thoughts about him. And so kind of seeing that in action in the interview was interesting. Yeah, but to kind of start pulling out some of these quotes that I think emerged for me, a lot of it has to do with something that we're going to get into with the photos as well, but that has to do with Vogue Week, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. So we're recording this on November 22nd, so the anniversary of Vogue Week was a couple weeks ago at this point.
It was November 13th. So that was actually the day before this was released.
Yeah, so very, very similar timeline. And maybe that's why I was thinking about it so much with this shoot and this interview, mm-hmm. because, you know, the fandom kind of had a collective moment of like reviewing that moment and thinking about it that day. And then for this to drop right after, it was like very present in my mind that happened. And we didn't have a podcast at that point. That was one of the kind of, if you've listened to our intro episode, kind of like one of the instigating factors for us to even want to start it is because, you know, and if you're a fan of Harry, like you remember this clearly because it was such a massive moment that, you know, he was on the cover of Vogue in a dress, faced a small amount of like internet fuckery like there always is, but mostly was fine. Then a little while later, Candace Owens brought in the brigade of the Fox News blowback, and then that what followed was then another wave of backlash from people who were against Candace Owens and the Fox News Brigade. And so long story short, it was just like a large period of controversy where Harry was at the center of it. That was honestly one of the biggest points of his whole career in terms of like four quadrant notoriety, like appearing on the mainstream news of the world, which is like a very strange thing to think about, that literally all he did was like wear a dress on a magazine cover.
All he did was wear a dress on a magazine cover.
And like, I have a lot of like complicated feelings about not the cover. I have no complicated feelings about the cover at all.
I just think that he looked really cute on the cover. He was so
cute. About that, about how that went down, about how culture treats him and treats Harry whenever he expresses femininity. And like, yeah, I just have like a lot of things we could unpack. But basically what I wanted to focus in on is, I think a lot of times because Harry doesn't do a lot of interviews and because he's very private, you kind of get the sense that, and even the interviewer comments this in the article, that nothing really bothers him, that he just kind of sails through. And it's like, you know, people are like throwing things at his back and nothing sticks. But something I found super, super interesting about this interview is that like the interviewer specifically says that to him and he comes back and lightly pushes back on it a few different times.
So it does get to him that like he doesn't, I don't mean to step over you, but I think that a big theme of this interview for me, because there were like lots of like little different, like when I was going through a number of quotes from this article were just like literally pleasing copy. Like, the girl's got it down. He said, this is what pleasing is. I know how to sell it. I have my pitch. And I'm like, yes, you got this. And then there were like the ones where he has these questions that he frequently gets asked, just as like an intro. Like, people will always ask about like One Direction as an intro. And so I'm always like scroll past that part because like you've already asked him like 700 times what he feels about his time in One Direction. And you'll have people be like, do you like being in movies? And he'll be like, yeah, I like being in movies. But like the majority of content that's not about asking him like, do you like being in movies? is him talking about without talking about this really, really deft navigation of feeling, having the experience of being hyper visible as a famous person, as a gender non-conforming famous person specifically, which he doesn't say specifically, but he implies numerous times. And I think that we can get into that. I think that that's probably the most interesting aspect of the interview for me, the way that he navigates that. I expect in the next few months, we'll have him continuing to navigate that conversation. But yeah, I think that that was like I said, we'll get into it, but that's a huge undercurrent of everything that's not like, what is pleasing and did you enjoy your time in One Direction?
Yeah, so to start here, like, so the interviewer says, I comment more than once on how at peace Styles, whose every move is writ large in the internet, seems. He's never let his stardom eclipse his need for normalcy. So then it's like a quote from Harry about reading a book, The Architecture of Happiness, and talking about like calm and, you know, needing things to be calm and needing his own space and whatever. But then he says, you know, I read another book by John Ronson called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It got me thinking for a long time about how scared I was of saying or doing the wrong thing and how much trouble that would get me in. I was still growing up, making mistakes. I'm not ashamed of those things anymore. I've seen subconscious changes in a lot of places in my life. So I found this back-to-back kind of assumption from the interviewer, like, you seem so confident, you seem so at peace for somebody who's so scrutinized, and for him to come back would be like, okay, I read this book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Like, my immediate reaction to that was like, I felt really, like, I felt for him so much reading that. And there's something about that, like, obviously, like, I am not a person with any notoriety at all, and am I hyper-scrutinized on the internet? Absolutely not. But I've always been somebody who's like, that fear of like making mistakes, of doing things wrong, is something that deeply, deeply speaks to me, that he's describing. And like, Gray knows this because this is why I like spend 7 to 8 hours editing every episode of our podcast. I'm like very aware of the things I say and the fact that the internet is forever. And so that aspect of this quote really speaks to me. But I think that particular sense, like after kind of reviewing Vogue Week and thinking so much about the internet's inability to handle like things like that, into the inability to empathize with like the individual people at the center of controversies like that, and the inability to imagine them complexly as people instead of as pawns or as like political chess pieces to operate to their own will. Like, I, for him to come back with like, you know, yeah, I seem at peace because I read this book about what it's like to be publicly shamed. Like, I just had a lot of feelings about that, and it makes me want to read that book, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I found it really interesting and very deft the way that he conducted this sort of questioning throughout the entire interview. this is one thing that I always want to push back and be like, Harry, you can say that something hurt your feelings. It's okay. But he's not the kind of person who really likes to complain. I think he thinks it's kind of like, because he has had a lot of like privileged experiences, maybe he thinks it's kind of gauche or something. But he doesn't complain, but he says without saying it, I feel like I was publicly shamed and I had to read a book about how to deal with that.
Yeah. And like, there's some fluidity there in terms of like, he kind of, the things that he follows it up with seem to me to be commentary about like existing on the world stage as a member of One Direction, which is like different than like him specifically being like, I read this after I was on the cover of Vogue and right. Fox News put my face around the world as a symbol of their hatred of gender nonconformity, you know, which he doesn't explicitly say, but you can see kind of throughout the piece as he says, like, I think things are hitting me for the first time, speaking about this past 2 years in his life since the Fine Line era. It's really the first opportunity where I felt like I had time to take it in since leaving home. So going forward, I'm just going to take things in as they're happening, how nice some of those things are, how not nice some of those things are, and just absorb them. And so it is this kind of like perpetual acknowledgement throughout this piece. And even on the very ending quote, I sometimes feel like I'm supposed to be floating on this cloud of success and happiness. And obviously that's not how it works. I think through my own sense of self and personal journey, I'm realizing that happiness isn't this kind of end state. Like, there's this perpetual acknowledgement throughout this piece that like things are up and down. It's not like for a piece that largely exists to advertise his like beauty product line. Like, I really was struck by that kind of walk that he does in this piece about how things aren't always exciting and confidence inspiring, you know?
Yeah, like he seems like he is talking about experiencing some things that are kind of emotionally tough. Like, which I mean, like,
yeah.
I wasn't the one who was even being shamed on the public stage for just daring to like wear a piece of clothing that I wasn't supposed to wear. When it was happening, I was like, I can only imagine like what that would be like to experience. And I felt bad for him. But like, I am curious if in moving forward, if this will be like, you know, when we're moving forward with these profiles, if this is like the line to where he'll address it so that he doesn't get like too in the weeds with it. Or like, if this is like the beginning of the conversation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm deeply, deeply curious to see how he'll talk about it in the future, because it was something that was like a big deal to me, and it was like honestly kind of secondhand traumatizing to me, like that week as a trans person, a queer person, like deeply, deeply felt to feel that, like to invest in someone and like feel so inspired by them and appreciate them, and to see his, like you said, like literally just like something that's like not even that deep, like it's a magazine cover, to see that have such a cultural moment, even in a positive way, like even though where we ended up was like a relatively positive place where a lot of people were coming to Harry's defense, even that was like, to see something like that just be blown up into this huge big political controversy was like a very strange and difficult time.
Right.
So
it's very much like, we try to stay relatively positive on this podcast and like not get too in the weeds. But yeah, I am transgender, and like I'm also visibly queer and like gender nonconforming. So I've definitely faced like looks in public and like judgment and stuff for like the way that I appear. So to kind of see that played out on the grand scale, like it is hard. It feels like, you know, people, even some people in your own community are like criticizing you when they're criticizing him wearing the stuff that he wants to wear. And like, you know, even you don't want people to have to like, quote unquote, come to his defense, because a piece of clothing shouldn't need defending. It's just a piece of clothing, you know, just trying to wear.
Yeah. And it's this exhausting cycle of like, feeling like anytime he does anything, like if he wants to authentically express himself, there's going to be some sort of like cultural blowback or pushback on that. Right. And that's like very sad to me.
It's sad. And it's tough if you are like us and you exist at those intersections, I think, as well.
Yeah. And also just like, yeah, both as a person who sits at those intersections and also just like as a person with empathy who like is interested and cares about Harry as an artist, like I want him to continue to exist authentically as himself.
Yeah.
Because that's like what you want for anybody. And also because that's what's best for his art. It's best for him as an artist, you know. So like we're all very like you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if that's not something you're invested in, right? And so I guess this is why we're talking so much about this part of the interview, because to me, like, that was such a standout moment to me and to culture in general. Mm-hmm. And the way he referenced it at the time, which was so perfect, was just to post this like cheeky little kind of, you know, post and caption that made fun of it, which I think was mm-hmm. a perfect response at the time. Because it was impactful to me emotionally, I can't help be curious as to how he kind of thought about it, what his thoughts were on it, and like whether we explicitly hear him reference that in the future, whether we kind of get these little glimpses as to what maybe his thoughts on it were. I'm interested in it. And I think maybe this can lead us into a discussion of some of the other things that he says in the interview, because I feel like you can glean sort of like this little attitude of defiance that I also see in some of these quotes that I think ties deeply to into doing this shoot with Dazed in the first place, which is that not all of this is bad or sad, because there's a certain element of this too where he says like I've unlocked an ability to be myself completely unapologetically and things like that, where you're like, oh, like, because the photos from this shoot, like you referenced before, Gray, like, you know, they didn't receive anywhere near the same amount of like social backlash, but like Twitter still was shitty about it. Yeah. And like people still were mean and bitchy about it. And like I at least feel reading this interview, I do feel like there's kind of like a deliberate, not a fuck you, because that's not Harry at all, and that's like not his attitude, but there's kind of like there is a deliberate defiance, at least to me, in some of the ways he's talking about this and the way that this is framed, where it's kind of like, oh, you thought I would do that once and like never do this again? Like, you don't know me at all. Right. Like, this is what I'm committed to doing. This is what my art is like. I like to have fun with clothes. I like to dress like this. I like to work with interesting artists and designers and
I'm gonna keep doing it, even if you guys keep saying all of the nasty stuff. Like, I'm just gonna keep vibing and keep working with artists that I think are interesting. And sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And I find that really creatively inspiring, because I am somebody who, like, I do think that I, of course, spend too much time on Twitter, but I care, you know, what other people think. And I want to see somebody like Harry, who I think is naturally predisposed to that kind of like calm. He's like not that controversial. Like that's like Harry is not, like, Harry has been compared to David Bowie all the time for a variety of reasons, but like Bowie's identity as a provocateur is like just not the position that Harry has in the culture, and it's not his personality. It's not where he wants to be. So to see, because I don't identify with that at all either, to see this kind of attitude coming from him, I really kind of do admire. And so I really liked that kind of glimpse of that as well in the interview. And so I have a quote here about just the kind of making of the shoot, the articles describing the photographer and the photo shoot itself. It says Harry immediately grabs an angelic cream look for Rick Owens' web sweater, a Galliano corset, and a Comme des Garçons kitten heel from the splatter of Polaroids affixed to the wall. At ease in front of the camera, he slips from one look into another, each more fantastically concocted than the last. He's the right side of confident and seems, through observation, content. And yeah, so even if the interview kind of delves into these kind of more complex emotions that likely exist around being at the center of cultural commentary around something like this, yeah, getting these little glimpses into like the confidence behind these shoots, I really liked.
He just loves being an editorial model so much. He and I were chatting before this, and I was saying that the beauty paper shoot must have been Harry's favorite day ever, because they asked him a few questions so that he could have like a little like mock interview where he like said like things like Bukowski and flowers and stuff, But yeah, they just kind of treated him like a regular editorial model that day. Oh my gosh, it must have been his favorite.
He must have been thrilled.
He must have been so excited. That's one thing that I, you know, as somebody who likes fashion and who has gotten back into fashion more because of Harry, I do really admire his work as a model doing editorial. And I just think that I really like this description because, I don't know, it just shows his passion for it. He's so good at it. Like, he could do this just like full time if he wanted to. He's just so good, you know?
Yeah. And the piece too references, like, you know, he says, I'm not working from a place of fear. I'm working from a place of wanting to work stuff out, try different things. I feel like that's something that you can definitely see in the photo shoot. I feel like, yeah, I don't know. There's something that I hate about the way that the internet reads so much intent and controversy into these things. When for a lot of times it's like, shouldn't this just be something that's fun, that people can try, that people can, we can get into this deeper as we discuss the actual photos of the shoot, but I don't know. I like hearing these little tidbits from him about how he thinks about these things. And yeah, I enjoyed the interview. And so kind of the way we should close the book on this before we get into the photos themselves is there was just one other quote in here that I liked that kind of like sits aside from the things we've already talked about, which is Harry said, I started only listening to classical music because it felt like it gave me a blank canvas to work from. So I wasn't hearing things I would then be referencing. I think that so much creativity comes from my boredom and giving myself the chance not to be distracted by things. I'm the most human I've felt for a long time, for sure. So I thought that was kind of interesting as like a precursor if we're thinking about music, if we're thinking about a potential next album coming soon, the idea that in quarantine, maybe, I don't know, he was like, I need to sit down and like listen to classical music and like kind of separate myself from my traditional influences, I find to be really interesting. What did you think about that quote, Gray?
HS3, a classical album, so true.
That's really not what I took from it, but
No, I do think that that's a really good point about separating himself from his current influences. I do think that that kind of speaks to a confidence in the fact that he understands his current influences and is kind of branching into stuff that he's not as familiar with anymore. So that's cool.
Yeah.
God, I just want to know about this new music so bad. I'm desperate, going crazy. He and I are just chatting about potential profiles and stuff that he could talk about all the time. But it's so hard to like even think about like what to think about because we don't know what we don't know. I feel like one thing that I'm so excited about is I feel like a lot of conversations, you know, once there's a lot of dead air, stuff gets repeated. So I'm just really, really hungry for like him to say new stuff about his music and like what quarantine was like and like how the events of the past 2 years have like impacted him as an artist. I feel like even when we got his longer article in Vogue, he held a lot of stuff back.
You could definitely feel him doing that in this interview as well.
Not that like he needs to share everything about his like personal life, but like as an artist, you could tell he's like, okay, I'm saving this for when I talk about the album.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I want you to talk about it now.
Yeah, I'm desperate to hear details for it. And I'm kind of glad that we didn't get anything in this piece because of everything I said before in this episode, I kind of enjoy that keeping the music and the brand of it all separate. And so I'll be interested to see if that continues to be how he operates in the future. But for now, I'm like, if we got like a extensive Rolling Stone UK profile in like a week's time, I would really, really not be complaining.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Okay, so now we are going to move into a conversation about the photos and fashion. So this is very exciting. The stylist that Harry worked with was actually Ibrahim Kamara, who is also the editor-in-chief of Dazed, the very magazine that he appeared in. Ibrahim is a very, very exciting stylist. He was profiled by the New York Times in September, which is actually where I first heard of him. He's just so cool. He has worked in a lot of editorial, but he doesn't usually work with celebrities because, according to him, many of them aren't willing to push themselves creatively or get outside of the box. In the article from the New York Times, he said, until recently, I tended to work with my friends as it was just easier. But Rihanna, who is the other main celebrity that he has worked with, is an exception. She is someone who always takes the risk. She resonates with our readership. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was the one who pulled out that quote, and I just liked that because I thought it spoke to kind of the things we were talking about before, and just things Harry has said before about putting himself kind of out of his comfort zone and trying different things and kind of just being willing to do that without fear. And so, yeah, I kind of thought that there was kind of a meeting of minds between what Kamara has talked about desiring in the things that he does creatively and kind of where Harry is at as well.
Yeah, according to the Times, his work tends to flirt at the intersection of raw realism, pop culture tropes, and the alternative realities he creates. He says that he hopes to inspire people of all colors and backgrounds to unapologetically express themselves. That's the outsider's legacy. You do your own thing, then hopefully the world catches up to it one day, which I just think is like, it's very much in line with, I feel like, Harry's artistic aesthetic as well, like kind of the, even the theme of the piece of like, I'm just gonna like beat my own drum, and if people get it, that's great. If they don't, then they don't. And so I feel like definitely those attitudes towards work, it must have been a really exciting time to be able to work together. Ibrahim frequently collaborates with the photographer Raphael Pavarotti. He is known for his eccentric and sensitive approach to image making. He meticulously builds stories in his work, carefully analyzing composition, color, and light as he does so. A lot of quotes from him come from a Something curated article. All of the articles about the stylist and the photographer will be linked in the description of the podcast. He talks about his different creative influences in the Something curated article. He is very focused, again, on color. When someone asks him about his colors, he says he feels that they're inspired by his grandmother's colorful crockery. His grandmother is colorful, and her world is colorful, and his is too. Each color chosen within his work has a meaning. They are there to leave a subtle message along with the subject matter. And then in terms of his frequent collaboration with Ibrahim, my collaborative relationship is about many exchanges of life, friendship, love, and art. We give our all when we are going to create a story together. We have a true love for the things we create and desire to take these messages to our community and to the world. It takes a lot of responsibility, and it's beautiful to be able to share that with him. What we are doing today is creating a legacy for the next generation that will not grow with the absence of representation in the history of photography. So these are two like really cool artists. I'm really happy that Harry collaborated with them. I think that the photo shoot looks really good. Do you have any thoughts on the quotes and stuff that I just laid out and how maybe they informed your opinion on any of the photographs from the shoot as we kind of move into actually discussing the photographs at hand, Key?
Yeah, so the color example, I think, is interesting and informative because there are a lot of bright colors in the shoot and like kind of combinations that I haven't seen Harry in before, and kind of like some of the polka dot aesthetics you can see kind of recurring in both of these people's work. If you look at their Instagrams, which I would recommend kind of taking a scroll through. I will say also that including the interviewer, that means that all of the creative collaborators on this project were Black. And I think that that kind of like is something that's notable and that I couldn't say has ever been the case with a Harry like photo shoot or editorial type thing he's ever done before. And so I think that that is something that's interesting. And I think it's just kind of worth mentioning when it comes to kind of these artistic projects is like when we're talking about the different identities that are involved, like this is a very queer shoot. And for it to also have been made by people of color, for the interview, the styling and the photography all to be done by Black artists as well, I think is something that's notable.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure where the writer herself falls in terms of the spectrum of sexual orientation, but Ibe and Raphael are both gay, so they also bring that shared identity to their work. I thought that the comment about his grandmother's cookery in relation to the colors in the shoot was very notable. There's a lot of really cool like neon photography that Raphael has done in collaboration with Ibrahim, and I could see some of the neons kind of reflected here. There's a lot of contrast in the photographs that they often collaborate on together, which I feel like you can see highlighted in a lot of the, you know, there's purple here contrasted with the black background, the bright green that really hit the internet by storm. Yeah. I feel like before we talk about the most notable photograph that I think made the biggest splash on the internet and then go into talking about which ones were our favorites, I want to...
Well, why don't we talk about the cover a little bit first?
Oh, yes. What were your thoughts on the cover besides seeing it and then immediately screaming, crying, throwing up, etc.?
Yeah, I fucking love this cover. This is definitely like one of my favorite covers Harry's ever done.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's great. There's two. So there's the cover with just his face, and then there's the cover with the, where you can see the full body and the motorcycle. I just love it. I love the purple and the black color combination. I don't know. I just love the flared purple pants, which are like, obviously Harry wears flared pants all this time, but I don't know if this is like pleather. I don't know like what is going on here with the fabric. I really like the outfit they have him in. You've got this top that has this massive hole ripped out of it so that you can see the iconic butterfly tattoo and all of his four nipples.
I'm gonna say about this photo shoot, which I absolutely adore every single outfit in it. And some of the pieces of clothing in this are like the type of clothing that you would only ever wear in editorial, because it's like there's a number of pieces of clothing that are like, it's a shirt, but you just cut a big hole in it, or it's like it's a sweater, but like in quotation marks.
Yeah, that's true. And I really like, I'll say like not every single photo or look in this shoot was a hit for me, but this cover, I don't feel like I feel like that's not that controversial to say. I don't know.
It's great. I love this cover photo. I really do.
Yeah, I love the cover. It's one of my favorites in the shoot for in particular. I love his hair in it too. Like, I feel like a lot of times Harry's hair is like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just particular about it. He always looks great, but like, yeah, I feel like his hair is really well styled in this shoot. The pose on this cover is really good. I don't know. Like, he's done a lot of different photo shoots, and he's even done photo shoots that aesthetically kind of call to mind some of the images in this shoot before to me. But this image for the cover, I haven't seen anything like that from him before. And so I really, really liked the cover image.
Yeah, I did
too. Oh, and the earrings. We forgot about that. He's wearing clip-on earrings in it, which I love, and I mourn every day the tragic loss of his impulsive piercing that he gave himself the night before the Met Gala, which if he had actually gone and got pierced weeks before, like he should have, and not worn an extremely heavy earring and a new piercing, maybe he would still have. But happy to see anyway the clip-on ones, and if that becomes like an aesthetic direction that he chooses to take for this next era, I would not complain at all, because I think they look really good.
You can't just say that and put it in my head. I saw the clip-ons and like the earrings and everything, and I was like, oh, this is such like a cute, like probably like a one-off thing, but oh my god, this could be like an era thing where he's just wearing clip-on earrings all the time.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
I'm not like putting that out there like that's my prediction, but I just think it's fun. It's like, because I know when he did pierce his ear for the Met Gala, like Harry Lambert was like, and that's something we'd been talking about for a long time. And then after that, nothing. So I'm like, I hope he wasn't like too scarred by that experience, because I do really like how they look in this shoot. And I think they do add something very particular. But yeah, we'll have to see. It did, like a couple of the photos, not all, but some of the photos in this shoot did kind of have like a George Michael kind of vibe to me.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I think this cover and like the look with the earrings like particularly like brings that image to mind for me.
Ah, so good. So good. Okay. So before we move into our favorites, I think that we should probably talk about what the internet found was the most notable image.
Yeah. So in both positive and negative way. So let us discuss the infamous Grinch photo, aka the green... I mean, you have written down here what the actual garment is, so why don't you read that?
Right. For us? Yeah. So it's an archival J.P. Gaultier sweatshirt dress from the fall 2002 couture collection. So this is vintage stuff. I mean, it's not like ancient history, but it is.
Yeah, describing something from 2002 as vintage.
It is like 20 years old.
Yeah.
So they pulled from the archives for that, which I think is super fun. He is clearly like wearing this and being like kind of goofy, kind of silly, kind of campy. And then a bunch of people, a lot of Harry's, they thought it was silly and fun. Somebody here said, "The lettuce in my fridge watching me have pizza for dinner."
Yeah, it's like one of the behind the scenes photos where he's like wrapped up in it. And like when they did the behind the scenes for the shoot, there's like a little video. He's like kind of bopping around dressed in it and like having a good time. And like, yeah, there's like this, there's a really good thread, first of all, on this image on Twitter that we should link in the description of this podcast that kind of goes into like the high fashion element of the shoot and the fact that the shoot is a lot of editorial and like pulls from a lot of editorial and that like quote unquote high fashion is like not meant to be like worn on the street and have people like be like, oh yes, that's an outfit that you wear when you go to the movies with your friend. Like that's not what it's for. And so I feel like there is this disconnect with Harry sometimes where people see the things that he does. And there's like a couple of different assumptions that people make that aren't always the case. The first is that everything's being done with like a complete level of like seriousness and lack of self-awareness that I think is absolutely not the case at all. Like I find that Harry is extremely self-aware. And so I feel like people look at images like this and like project all sorts of assumptions on it. For all different variety of reasons that annoys the crap out of me when like there's multiple things going on, which is that editorial photography is not street or editorial fashion is not street fashion.
Right.
Like, these things are different, right? That they're accomplishing different things, that shoots like this aren't accomplishing the same thing as like, you know, Jennifer Aniston doing a photo of women's health or whatever. Like these are not like the same like
this is,
environments
this,
or goals.
This is very much like you can tell literally that this is not a fashion shoot where like this particular outfit is trying to sell this particular garment because it's an archival outfit from 2002. Like,
yeah,
like
they're doing different things. And like, yeah. And there's like the level of memery about this that this goes back to what we were talking about before with Vogue Weekend. And like, I'm sorry if people don't want us to like bring up negative things, but like, I'm just being honest about like the way that I received this shoot, which was that, you know, I unfollowed some people over it. Like on my timeline that is not my Harry Styles fan Twitter timeline, because people just can be really shitty and cynical sometimes and just see photos like this and like see Harry kind of having fun with clothes and like trying things out and like is every single thing like something that I would wear or something that I think like hits great, like no, but like this is a fashion photo shoot that happens. When you look at the people's Instagrams who made this photo shoot, that's what this is. Like, if you look at Rihanna's photo shoot, there's, like, campy photos of her from it. That's, like, you know, but nobody's, like, would Rihanna wear that? Like that's, like, not a part of the conversation. And so I get very frustrated at, like, the cynical attitude that people bring to a lot of this stuff for a variety of reasons that just, like, really bugs the shit out of me. But just in general, it's, like, I guess what I'm trying to pull together and say here is that like there's like a level of memery about this particular photo in the shoot, which is why we're spending so much time talking about it, that it initially is funny to me and I like people having fun with it. And I think everybody is allowed to do that. And I think this shoot is not done with like such a deep seriousness that we shouldn't allow for that. I think things like this are fun and we should be able to have fun with them. But at the same time, when those same like jokes and memes are also being perpetuated by people who I can just sense have a very cynical and kind of gross attitude about it. I don't know. It's just something that I struggle with when Harry does shoots like this. And I'm so happy to hear from him that his attitude is kind of like what Harry Lambert has said before, what he kind of intimates in this shoot of like, if people don't get it, like whatever, it's fine. It's actually kind of good. Like I'm happy that's his attitude, because sometimes for me I get bummed when I see that, like, I don't know, people are just being cynical. And I spend too much time on Twitter is the takeaway. But
yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting. I you know, I feel like people will always compare him to like XYZ celebrity or whatever, but a lot of times the stuff that he wears in editorial is similar to, like, if you open up Vogue, there are male models who wear these kinds of outfits, like in different editorial spreads, or like on Instagram, like Harry Lambert has shoots with models who are just like regular models who wear this sorts of stuff. So Harry has an interest in editorial photography. And when he does photo shoots, he often wears the kind of outfits that editorial models wear. And I feel like there is kind of like, because he's a public figure, there's a misunderstanding of like what he's trying to do with this kind of work.
Exactly. That's a better way to put it. Yeah.
And it is frustrating for me as somebody who is personally very interested in this art form. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm surprised that anybody ever cares about my opinions on any of this stuff at all. But it is something that has interested me more and more over the years. The relationship between high fashion and low fashion and the ways that, people express concepts of the world around them and stuff. And I just feel like it's frustrating. Like, there's a lot of conversations that we could be having about Harry Styles' editorial work that's not like whether or not men should be allowed to be feminine. Like,
yeah, that aspect of it is just stupid. Like, who but cares? I find that like it, even it comes from people who think that that's not where they're coming from, and there's this assumption. Like, I think what happened with this photo in particular, which is again why we're harping on it so much, is that this photo I saw contextless everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I had people who are friends of mine sending me this image who don't even know that the Dazed shoot happened.
Yeah,
they
too.
Just like saw this image, and so what that does, right, is it removes the context from it. People already have seen the Vogue dress, which was accomplishing something completely different.
Right.
Like, the Vogue cover and the Vogue dress is like completely different from what the shoot was trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so people are projecting that intent of those images that they've seen onto this. And so that's where I think you get that like internet kind of attitude about these images that think that they're both accomplishing the same thing, when this actually is like an editorial fashion shoot that was done for a magazine that is known for pushing these boundaries. And if you look at any of the collaborators' Instagrams, it's like full of looks like this.
Right.
And so that was like a frustrating thing to see and experience online. But yeah, I think that's like as much as I want to say about that, because I think overall I did have a very good experience with this shoot, and I'm very grateful for all these images that we got. And like I was heartened, I guess, by his own attitude about it enough to kind of like not let it bother me that much. But yeah, it was interesting, I guess, to see the context kind of lifted from this and to see it kind of viewed through that lens.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All I hope is that one day people will realize that this is just something that Harry does and they'll fucking get over it. But again, like, and we'll talk about this, you know, as we do episodes throughout the next couple of months, I would imagine, as Harry releases music. He's like really big now. He's like a really large artist,
huge.
Like a really high profile. And so there is a certain thing where you like reach a certain level of recognition that like I need to be equipped to accept a certain level of internet chatter about it that in the past has been a struggle for me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's definitely a struggle. I think that we're going to just have to get acclimated to it.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have a few more thoughts on theme, because I feel like I said before, I feel like the conversation often ends up either overtly or covertly talking about like who is allowed to wear certain clothes. And I'm just so over it. I don't care. So I want to talk about the actual themes of the photo shoot and sort of some of the emotions that the photos brought up in me. So I found it really interesting that there was a lot of representation of like polka dots and like holes in this. And it kind of gave me...
That's not what I expected you to say.
No. But it kind of gave me the impression, especially this photograph with the big yellow gloves. I kind of felt like his outfits had like eyes. They were like looking back almost at me. And
that was an interesting point.
I found I feel that way with like this recurring theme of like dots. Like there's a lot of photographs with polka dots, and like especially with the polka dot socks. I don't know, I kind of feel like in the profile itself there's themes of openness and there's also themes of visibility, and I find it really interesting to at least think that perhaps there's a certain level of connection with the imagery of the these circles and polka dots and in relationship to I'm open and vulnerable, and I'm also very, very visible.
Yeah, definitely not a connection I made naturally when I was looking at it. So that's interesting to hear.
Yeah. I also find something very interesting. The corset, which I feel like is probably, it's one of my favorite looks. I find it really interesting how this photographer and stylist in the past have worked to repurpose a lot of archived corsets and different, I guess, Victorian-esque kind of clothes in the past.
Yeah, I was going to mention kind of the Victorian element
as
well.
There's a bunch of, actually, there's a bunch of like Victorian elements in here. And the stylist and photographer both have a history of subverting clothing like this to, you know, to make kind of, I guess, a point about who certain pieces of clothing belong on, which I guess, like, goes back to, like, should men be feminine? But that's not, like, really what I'm trying to say. I guess sort of, like, talking about, I'm putting a corset on Harry, but I'm putting it backward. I'm putting it, like, rumpled on his body. So it's not just, like, that he's wearing, like, a corset that's weird. It's also, like, disrupting the entire, like, way that a corset can look on a person, if that makes any sense. Mm.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. And again, not something that I really thought about before. But yeah, I can definitely see that with kind of, like, that whole particular outfit, too, with the way the corset is worn and, like, the function of, like, the traditional function of a corset mm-hmm. and the way in which, like, wearing it backwards and open and with the other things they styled it with, like, what that could say. I think that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And, like, to pick up from there, I'll let that kind of get me into some of my favorites from the shoot, because when you mentioned kind of the Victorian themes of the shoot, like, there are definitely, that was definitely a through line that I saw. And I really liked the Balenciaga pre-fall 2021 look, which is like this, the coat, the polka dot dress, the kind of like, the people were pulling the Cruella de Vil kind of look, which has the top hat. And I just love, like, his pose in this. And I don't know, I loved the hat. I like the, like, overcoat thing that he has on. I was kind of thinking, like, it's giving, like, Victorian era gay Batman villain vibes in a way that I really like. and so to pull that together with, like, he's wearing a top hat in one other photo. I find that kind of, like, British, like, that period of, like, British fashion to be interesting. And so to kind of see that played with like, the polka dots and the textures and the colors, I think was kind of cool. It's not something that I say, that I can say I've really seen before in this particular way.
Mm-hmm. And I really liked, I just really liked pretty much everything. I really liked this Bond villain look, this, like, gay Bond villain that's going here, the white one.
Oh, yeah.
That one is really fun.
The Slay Star Yasko one. Shout out to all my Succession heads.
Slay Star Yasko. Yes, the Slay Star Yasko look. I don't really have a lot of, like, deep things to say about it. I think that there's definitely, in these looks, there's a lot of, like, contrasting elements of the masculine and feminine. So even here, where you kind of have almost kind of, like, this, like, businessman top, you know, the suit and the shorts, you have tights and ballerina flats. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine who used to do ballet, and we were chatting about this photo shoot, and she said all of these characters in this photo shoot could be ballet characters, which I find is really interesting. A lot of the positions that Harry is standing in the shoot are literally, like, ballet positions. Mr. Grinch position is ballet, the skirt suit from the spring 2019 collection, the corset picture, almost all of them have Harry in his feet in Mary Jane's or in some sort of ballet shoe. So I do wonder about that theme too, like, if that was their overarching idea of the shoot, that, like, all of these quote unquote, like, characters were, like, in some sort of, like, meant to, like, seem like they were all in, like, some weird ballet or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that Dazed magazine has been posting kind of, like, fan edits and stuff like that, and there's been some fun plays on that with, like, editing all the different characters from the shoot into, like, you know, The Last Supper or, like, things like that I've liked to see.
Yeah.
Another one I really, really liked is one that you just mentioned, which is the skirt suit one, which is kind of, like, that people are saying it was, like, looked like the Bene Gesserit look, which is, like, the the group of, like, women that are in the movie Dune, or I guess also the book. But so if you saw Dune, it's that one. But if you didn't see Dune, it's, like, the black lace look with the veil that kind of is reminiscent to me as somebody who grew up Catholic, as, like, a very Catholic grandmother kind of look, which is, I think, why I'm drawn to it. It's my childhood Catholic trauma. But I really, really like that look, and I think, yeah, that's just an interesting photo from this set for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this little, like, it's giving Fosse look here, that's you know, my new profile on Twitter. I don't really have a lot.
Which one?
The Fosse one, the guy in the shirtless suit.
Oh, the vest with the vest. Yeah.
This
is another one that gave me George Michael, kind
of. Yeah. I really liked that. I like the detail of the fishnet socks. Let me see, what else? I don't know. I there's actually two in this photo shoot where he just straight up looks like a bird. The Marco Ribeiro collection one where he looks like a peacock. And then this one in the Comme des Garçons.
Apologies for our French also, because I said that before too, and I don't think either of us nailed that.
I don't think that we nailed it. It's okay. We're going to move forward. Yeah, the way that this is styled in the photograph that I had seen, the model distinctly did not look bird-like. But in this photograph, Harry Styles looks like a big goose. So
yeah, that's interesting. To me, that one reads very Victorian dandy, like you'd see in like an old style painting kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But I love the other one that you mentioned. That was the last one I was going to mention as my other favorite that stands out to me is the Marco Ribeiro, the black and white polka dots with the red medallion kind of thing behind, which actually Emma Corrin has worn, not the red, but the black and white with the dots. I really, really like that look. I love his pose in that one. I think this might be my favorite pose from these photos. Yeah, so that's definitely one of the ones that emerges for me that I really, really like.
Yeah, so I think that wraps that up for me. I know that to close this out, you had some quotes about just some sort of inspiration for Harry that you wanted to talk about in relation to this kind of editorial work.
Yeah, I was just thinking about like seeing kind of the internet's varying reactions to this shoot and like just some of the stuff we were talking about before about the things that he shared in the interview. I just was recalling a certain excerpt of Rob's Rolling Stone profile of Harry in 2019. Which contains the following passage. In the studio while making the album, Harry had been watching a vintage Bowie clip on his phone, a late 90s TV interview I'd never seen. As he plays it for me, he recites along. He's got the rap memorized. Never play to the gallery, Bowie advises. Never work for other people in what you do. For Harry, this was an inspiring pep talk, a reminder not to play it safe. As Bowie says, if you feel safe in the area you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further in the water than you feel comfortable being. Go a little bit out of your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting. So this definitely called to mind the parts of the interview in which he talked about acting to me, because he was like, in music, like nobody knows what they're doing. And so it feels like, and I know a little bit because I've been there, so I feel like I'm good. And then you go into acting, it's like this new world, you're less experienced. But it also spoke to me just about this kind of shoot in general. And I think there's like a genuine, again, like there's a play, there's a self-awareness to this shoot. So I don't want to make it so serious because I don't think that that's what he approached it with. But there is a risk. Mm-hmm. Clearly, in doing this kind of editorial work and having this kind of fun, like while it's something that's fun, it's something that's authentic to Harry as an artist, I do think it's a risk. And I think every time that he does something like this and people are skeptical or cynical or straight up bigoted or like all the different ways that the internet in particular, but people in general can kind of, you know, view things like this, like doing work like this is risky, I think. And just to keep in mind that Harry is thinking about that, and that he, when he's image making, when he's making records, when he's making career decisions and artistic decisions, he's thinking about this and he's thinking about taking risks and what ways in which artists are exciting. And I think that helps me to kind of frame this shoot too and kind of think about where he might be going in his artistic future and in and musically and like all the things that we know are in the pipeline for him, like to kind of frame it within this desire that is summed up in his quote, I think kind of helps me to like frame all of this in terms of the kind of images that he wants to make, in terms of the kind of career that he wants to have. I think it's kind of like an educating moment for all of this to come. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't have a ton else to add to that. I'm just really looking forward to the future where hopefully we can have, I want a long profile, and I need somebody to ask you something that's not, did you like being in One Direction? Do you like to do the move? Like, I just need, are you dating anybody? Like, I just need questions about your music, questions about your quarantine. I need to know about your creative process. and I need to feel, I need to be the kind of profile where I look at my life and go, wow, you're a year younger than me. You sure are.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God Harry's older than me for my own self-esteem. I'll say that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, not great for my self-esteem. I'm turning 29 next week, so.
Yeah, I really need to take this Bowie quote to heart because I really like the areas of my life in which I don't quite feel my feet touching the bottom. That's not really where I'm at. And where I am, it's not because I'm like taking conscious creative risks that are exciting. So maybe something that I can keep in mind for myself.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that wraps up what I wanted to say. So let's move into the outro. Key, are you looking forward to non-Harry things, book, movie, TV, Rex? One non-Harry thing bringing you joy in these difficult times?
Yeah, so really two shows have been kind of keeping me going. Historically, like I watch a lot of movies and I am watching movies and I'm looking forward to seeing movies that are coming out soon. Really looking forward to seeing House of Gucci, but mainly it's been TV shows for me right now. I've been watching The Great British Baking Show every week. Now, by the time this episode comes out, the finale probably will have aired, but that's just been like a great joy. If you've skipped this season for some reason, I just really would heartily recommend it. All the bakers are great. It's just like a really nice, comforting season of television for me at the moment. It's just like really great. And then Succession is the other big one. So super into Succession right now. Every time a new episode airs, I have like three different podcasts that I listen to every week about it. And it's like this big thing. And like, you know, I love a monocultural event. So I've been getting everybody just like, I got Gray to start Succession. I got Ava and Alexis, like some of my other friends to start Succession. And so that's like, yeah, the Succession hive is like really, really what is my pop cultural landscape right now. So what about you, Gray?
I saw the new movie Tick, Tick, Boom in theaters, and that the story is a musical adapted from a one-man show by the late Jonathan Larson, who composed and wrote a lot of the book for the musical Rent, which if you have never seen, watch it.
I don't think you need to sell people on Rent.
I if you haven't heard of it, I'm not sure honestly if I can help you, but if you're new to it, have fun. Yeah, but they decided to make it's kind of like a biopic and kind of like an adaptation. It stars Andrew Garfield, who is just being so scrumptious in it. I kind of like, I want him to like hold me, but like also I see myself in his character a lot. And that's like a weird place.
A lot to unpack.
Key, have you ever been in that place with a character? Or is it just like, I'm just weird? Listeners, if you've ever been in that place with a character, please feel free to add us with too much information about it.
So true.
Yeah, so it's definitely like a weird place to be. The character, the whole plot is the character is 29 and turning 30 soon, and as I'm 28 and turning 29 soon, it's very much a hitting. Yeah. it definitely is one of those things that like sort of came at a very certain specific time, very similar to Bo Burnham's Inside, which is also basically about being the age that I'm at right now when you're like 29, 30.
It's all about the Saturn's return, which is like something I literally never heard of until I read like a couple Adele profiles and she mentioned it in every single one. And it was mentioned in this Harry Styles Dazed interview. And I was like, wow, I guess the Saturn's return is like a thing that I just like have never heard about or known about that people, everybody's talking about. Your late 20s, the time to think and reflect on your life.
Oh, yeah, I'm not as accomplished as Harry Styles or Adele, and so
and the people who are, that's a very short list.
It is, and yet Mitski is also singing about her Saturn's return in Working for the Knife, and if Mitski feels unsuccessful, then how am I supposed to feel as a creator? So a lot to unpack. But if you haven't seen Tick, Tick, Boom, I loved it. I loved it so much. I thought everybody in it was so
good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Key liked it a lot. That was great. I was worried that Key would hate it. And then we watched it together. I've seen it 3 times so far. And Key has only seen it once. So I really
brought me back to my theater kid roots.
Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And the soundtrack is obviously on all available social streaming platforms or whatever. Yeah, so that's all I have to say about Tick Tick Boom. If you haven't watched it or heard it, I would recommend it. Key, do you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, so basically I would expect to see us fairly soon. Hopefully we'll talk about the tour wrap-up. It's possible that, like, you know, unbeknownst to us, something massive is also, like, in the works right now. So you also could hear us imminently speaking about that. So we're kind of really excited at this moment. I know you haven't seen us for a while. Hello. I hope that this episode, which was much longer than we initially planned on it being, kind of quenched that thirst for you. And you will see us soon as Harry comes out with new things and as exciting things continue to happen. So you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. On Twitter and Tumblr, we can be found at harrystylespod. You can follow us there, DM us there with any suggestions, and let us know what you think of the show. Another way to let us know what you think of the show is to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'd so appreciate it if you took a second and gave us a rating if you enjoy it.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you, and talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Do it now.